Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18+ in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.
Off the ball, GAA.
They say in person he's actually quite nice and you enjoy his company and all that. That's not the same thing as sort of being able to project a political persona, I guess, you know?
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Football Daily on Off the Ball. Brought to you by the Big Brother Big Sister program. Proudly supported by Toyota.
And welcome along to Wednesday's Football Daily. I'm Phil Egan. Coming up today, we'll hear from Ireland midfielder Jason Malumbi, who says he's more than just a combative midfielder. We'll get an update on the squad from assistant manager John O'Shea ahead of Saturday's crucial World Cup qualifier in Portugal. And another Barcelona legend announces his retirement from football. But first to the Ireland camp in Abbottstown. Jason Malumbi's back in the Ireland squad for the World Cup qualifiers against Portugal and Armenia. Malumbi's last appearance for the boys in green was the 5-0 loss away to England in November of last year. He watched his West Brom clubmate Callum Stiles play for Hungary against Ireland in the last international window. The Waterford man was back in Ireland on the couch watching the 2-1 loss away to Armenia, and it's an experience he didn't enjoy.
Yeah, no, first and foremost, obviously it was really tough for me. Gutted to not be selected and called up for your country is tough, but then same as, you know, watching the game, obviously I watched the got a few days off, went home to see my family and stuff in Waterford, and yeah, it was hard to watch, you know. Really tough.
Malumbi added he was angry and disappointed to be left out last month, considering he had a strong start to the season.
Yeah, you probably feel a lot of emotions, be angry, you know, disappointed, gutted, like a lot of things go through. I was just feeling all those sort of emotions, and just happy to be back, yeah.
Jason Knight's out of the doubleheader due to injury. Will Smallbones back in the squad after overcoming an injury hit pre-season. Jack Taylor hasn't played a single minute with Ipswich since the Armenia game, so Malumbi could be in line for a start alongside Josh Cullen in midfield. He believes he can bring something different and also feels he doesn't get enough credit for his technical ability.
Yeah, obviously you back yourself. Like I said, my strengths are, I'm passionate, I care, I work as hard as I can, you know. I feel like I don't get enough credit personally for my technical ability. I'm not over technical, I'm not unbelievable technically, but I know I can definitely manage myself, and I feel like I'm good enough on the ball to play at this level 100%, and I feel like I get looked over sometimes with that part of my game, but I feel like I can contribute and help give everything.
The 26-year-old thinks his performances in the Championship this season can help him go up against the likes of Vitinha and Bruno Fernandes.
I think external are a bit both, really, because I think sometimes I could be maybe a bit unselfish, you know. I think I can overwork and over try too hard nearly, and sort of empty the tank too early, and just trying to do my best, but I feel like I'm managing that better, and you know, I feel I've put in some good performances this year with West Brom, you know, waiting way out the ball, so yeah, I feel like I'm definitely good enough.
The former under-21 captain added it's been hard wearing the Ireland jersey and not achieving a big away win or even coming close to qualifying for a major tournament.
Yeah, hopefully. That's obviously what I want. I want to play for Ireland. I don't know, I think I can be a bit self-critical at times as well, you know. I think it's hard to feel like to justify myself, you know, starting for Ireland when, you know, I've started many games in the past for Ireland. You know, we haven't won a lot of games, so I take that personally. I'm not here to say I should be playing for Ireland, but not really, because, you know, it hasn't been a successful time since I've been here. I haven't really achieved much personally, you know. I haven't played at a big tournament, haven't won a big away fixture against Portugal or France, or so it's tough, you know. I obviously believe in myself, but it's hard when you're not getting the results after being here for so long.
Assistant manager John O'Shea was also on media duty today, and he gave this update on the squad.
Oh, listen, all good. Evan took part in pretty much all the training today, so really good. Troy's been excellent as well since he's showed up, which is fantastic news as well. And I don't think there was particularly any other particular worries. I think we're all good after today. Well, so far after today.
Tuesday was budget day, and the League of Ireland Academies will receive €3 million in funding from the government. The funding falls short of the €4.5 million requested by the FAI in their pre-budget submission, but it still represents a big boost to the sport. The funding will come through Sport Ireland rather than the FAI. The FAI welcomed the news and said it can help fund a modern professional academy system in the country. In a statement, the FAI also said it will create full-time academy roles across League of Ireland clubs, providing high-performance environments for their most talented boys and girls to thrive in. With the €4.5 million they wanted, it would have meant 3 full-time staff each for the 26 underage academies. With the figure now being €3 million, it looks like it'll be 2 full-time staff each. The League of Ireland clubs are well behind the rest of Europe and the world. On Tuesday night's football show, League of Ireland Academy Development Manager Will Clark joined Eoin Sheehan and said this is hopefully just the start of investment into young players.
This is something we've obviously spoken to you about on the show multiple times. Now that it's actually rubber stamped, it's worth reminding ourselves of what's actually at stake here. So when the money comes in, and maybe we don't know for sure what's going to be coming in 2028, for example, but certainly with the money, €3 million next year, that's going to be evenly split amongst every League of Ireland club in the country.
Yeah, but like I think one of the key things today, Owen, I think almost as important as the level of funding and investment, I think it's the fact that it's a multi-annual, and there's a commitment there. There's a really strong commitment from the government. So not only does that allow ourselves within the League of Ireland and the FAI, but also the clubs to plan and take the long-term view, you know, that we've been speaking about for the last while. So again, from our perspective, we're delighted that, you know, the government and Minister O'Donovan and Minister McConnellogue have bought into that vision. And so we're obviously very grateful. And as I say, overall, it's a really positive outcome. And we're looking forward to working with, you know, the government, the department and Sport Ireland.
And you'd imagine they will be fully on board with the idea of ramping this up over the following few years, and then, as you pointed out in your budget proposal, a ramping down eventually. And as we've seen from some of the big transfer fees that have come up over the past couple of years, from Mason Milia to Victor Ajinvuna, this should become a self-sustainable model.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, I suppose our vision for this is that it is an investment, if you like, as opposed to like sort of a handout, if you like. And I suppose the one thing where football is maybe different than maybe some other sports, there is like a financial ecosystem that exists globally, if you like. So, you know, and we've never really been part of that financial global ecosystem, if you like. So from our point of view, you know, we framed this as an investment proposal. And again, we're delighted that the government have bought into that vision. So, yeah, so as I say, we're overall really positive day. And it's, you know, I think the thing about it is, in terms of the sustainability, obviously it's really important that, you know, that we put the building blocks in place. I think one of the problems that we've discussed about Irish football in the past is the fact that, you know, short-termism has been a massive challenge. And the fact that the funding today and the investment is multi-annual, that does allow us to put the various different building blocks in place to develop that, you know, industry and the long-term sustainability that we need.
If you want to listen to that chat in full, you can find it in your OTB Football podcast feed. Become a member and sign up at offtheball.com/join. Bohemian CEO Daniel Lambert joined Ger Gilroy and Colin Buhig on Off The Ball Breakfast on Wednesday morning. He said the best young players in the country need to bridge the gap to the UK and the rest of Europe by receiving the best level of coaching possible while increasing their contact hours with the coaches.
Daniel, what's your best case scenario here for 10 years' time? If we have this conversation a decade today, because a decade ago today, with Shane Long's goal against Germany, we were talking about that as one of the last great Irish football moments. This is far more serious in the overall development of football. If this money is used wisely, what are we talking about in 10 years' time?
I think, you see, first of all, I should say, and I'm always at pains to say, our model and Sligo Rovers is different to the other eight clubs. Yeah. So we don't have the private investors. So we have to kind of operate sustainably, which is challenging. But what I'd say is the problem we have right now, if we're all just brutally honest about it, and you need to be, and Double Pass outlines it, the level of football education that we're delivering to our best players is not good enough, and it's far from good enough. And people will talk, and there has been great developments at clubs. We're very proud of what we've done at the Oscar Traynor Centre, and that's been supported by large sports capital grant last year, but we aren't delivering for those players. And ultimately, if you look at, say, you know, a Bowes example, Evan was the last player at Bowes who left and he went over to Brighton at 16, right? He was undoubtedly receiving a higher level of football education at age 16, 17 before his 18th birthday than he would have been if it had been a couple of months later and he had stayed here. That's just undeniable. And we need to try and close that gap as much as we can. Will we get to a position where we're, you know, the equivalent of a Cat 1 academy in England? No, it's not going to happen. These academies lose a spectacular amount of money. But we need to try and bridge that gap in our own way, it's particularly around the contact errors piece. And what I would say is, like, this announcement yesterday will benefit all League of Ireland academies nationwide, and, you know, it'll be a geographical spread. It'll benefit a lot of areas of the country. I do feel that as this progresses, you are going to have a natural kind of leveling out of clubs with resources that will be able to deliver more, particularly probably on the facility side, and the, you know, just have greater resources. And that's, you're probably going to have, I'd imagine, six, you know, top academies in our grading system, then a middle group, and then some that maybe just don't have the resources. Yeah. We at Bowes would like to be in that top six. We think we will be. And I think where we'd like to be in 10 years is that you're looking at a player, you know, at age 15, 16, 17, and kind of being confident that they're getting a really high level here, that their potential, they're being able to reach their potential essentially in football, because they're not now. And it doesn't matter what club they're at, they're not receiving just the contact errors and the supports, and some of it then moves into sports science and medical and other things, but just on the contact errors to begin with, the core of the game, that's not being delivered right now for different reasons, and this is the start of that process.
Remember, you can listen to Off the Ball Breakfast each and every weekday morning from 7:30 on the Go Loud app, or you can watch it on YouTube. Football Daily and Off the Ball is brought to you by the Big Brother Big Sister program, proudly supported by Toyota.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18+ in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.
England's Anthony Gordon believes Jude Bellingham will benefit from a rest during the international break. The Real Madrid midfielder recently underwent surgery on a shoulder injury and hasn't been included for the friendly against Wales or the World Cup qualifier in Latvia, despite being fit. Gordon is confident Bellingham will be back playing for his country in the next window.
He's played so much football and, you know, he got surgery on his shoulder, so it just gives him time to build the rhythm up and start playing again. And I think we all know if he's playing week in, week out for Real Madrid, he's going to be in the England team.
Arsenal boss Renee Slager says she'll be honest with her players after their Women's Champions League title defence started with a 2-1 loss at home to eight-time champions Lyon. The result means it's now 4 games without a win. Slager says they're determined to turn things around.
We're critical, but we're also very supportive and positive moving forward with a shared purpose, and that's together finding our highest level again.
Elsewhere in the Women's Champions League last night, Barcelona beat Bayern Munich 7-1. Paris FC and Leuven drew 2-2, and Juventus beat Benfica 2-1. Tonight, Manchester United will make history when they play in the main phase of the competition for the first time. Mark Skinner's side are from the Norwegian club Vålerenga. Skinner says they're not taking their place in the competition lightly.
We want to compete on the highest level. You know, I think the slogan for the Champions League is to be the best, you've got to beat the best. And I think from our perspective, we believe in ourselves. You've seen it in our performances this year so far. And I think we just, it's an excitement.
On this week's Koi Gig podcast with Kathleen McNamee and Karen Duggan, they discuss United's positive start to the new season.
Manchester United won, Chelsea won. I'd say a big step of progress for United in the fact that of the 11 times they've played Chelsea, 10 times they have lost. This is the first time they've gotten any sort of points off them in the league. And while Skinner was kind of saying after the game, you know, I like that we're not happy with this, that we should have done better, it definitely feels like a real statement of intent, especially considering the results in the other big fixture of the weekend.
Yeah, look, he kind of gave and he took away. He kind of said, look, it shows that Chelsea won't walk the league, but that almost intimated to me that they still will win the league and Man United probably won't do so. And that obviously, maybe that is a realistic, maybe realistically, they are still aiming for a Champions League spot and that is still seen as a success in Man United's eyes because, like you say, rightly, they've never. But not only have they never beaten them, they hadn't gotten points off them. So to take for Chelsea's first points off them this season, having done the same to Arsenal, they can frame that in a really, really positive way. If you were a cynic, you'd say, well, they have to beat these teams if they're ever going to actually get to the point of competing for the title. But with the lack of backing and everything that Man United have and what they seem to be growing and the signings that they made have been very good. Anna Sandberg, Rolfo, Park, they were all really, really key in that result against Chelsea at the weekend. So without a huge amount of backing and the way they seem to be playing together, I think that he's right. Man United are progressing. Definitely. Defensively, they've kind of picked up where they left off last season and they have a world-class goalkeeper, which also helps.
Remember, you can listen to the Koi Gig podcast detailing the very best in the women's game each and every week in your OTB football podcast feed or on YouTube. Chelsea have won every competition apart from the Women's Champions League. The WSL champions are away to 20 this evening in the early kickoff. Manager Sonia Bampastor says it'll be good for her to assess her team's progress.
We want to compete against the best teams and see where we are at. So, yeah, really excited, really positive format. I think it will bring, even for the women's game, a higher competition. And, yeah, that's what we want to see.
Elsewhere tonight, Real Madrid are home to Roma. Wolfsburg take on PSG and St. Poulton are up against Atletico Madrid. And Inter Miami defender Jordi Alba has announced he'll retire at the end of this season. Alba only signed a contract extension with Miami in May, a deal that was due to run until the end of 2027. Alba came through Barca's famed La Masia Academy before he left to sign for Valencia. He then rejoined the Catalan club in 2012. He won 6 La Liga titles and 1 Champions League in his 11-year spell with Barca. He was also part of Spain's Euro 2012 winning squad. He follows teammate Sergio Busquets in announcing his retirement after the midfielder confirmed in December he'd call time on his career at the end of the 2025 MLS season. Now, Inter Miami are in advanced talks to sign another Spanish left-back in Sergio Reguilón on a free transfer. Reguilón's been a free agent since his contract with Tottenham expired in July. That's about all we have time for in today's Football Daily. I'm Phil Egan. I'll be back with more tomorrow.
Football Daily on Off the Ball. Brought to you by the Big Brother Big Sister program. Proudly supported by Toyota.
To unlock much more from the OTB football feed, sign up at offtheball.com/join now.
Hey football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.